Last night in St. Petersburg, a panel of USF-based marine scientists shared their findings on the impact of the BP Deepwater Horizon disaster. Bob Weisberg is a professor of physical oceanography at the University of South Florida and a leading expert on the role of the Gulf's loop current.
It provides a connectivity between the Caribbean and the southeast United States. It flows into the Gulf of Mexico through the Yucatan Strait, out through the Florida Straits, and then up the east coast is the Gulf Stream. And at the start of this oil spill, the loop current was as far north as the latitude of Tampa Bay. And it was in process of going farther and farther north. And in fact, many of us thought that it would actually get right up to the wellhead, which it's done many times in the past.
Weisberg's group, the Ocean Circulation Group, used satellite imagery and observation of the Gulf's pattern of currents to determine the potential path of the oil.
But what happened around, it happened on May 20th, in fact, the loop current shed what we call an eddy. And once that happened, the connection between the location of the wellhead and the Florida Straits was broken. Prior to that, some oil had gotten into the loop current, and a very small amount of oil actually did flow through the Florida Straits and up the east coast, in fact. But it was relatively minor because that connection was broken. So Florida really lucked out. And had that connection not been broken, we would have seen oil in the vicinity of the Keys and oil up the east coast.
Ernst Peebles is a professor of biological oceanography at USF, specializing in research on coastal fisheries, and was part of the crew on the research vessel that identified subsurface oil in the Gulf. He gave an overview of the biological impact that the spill had on the Gulf. He made a point that there's a disconnect between lab studies that determine water toxicity and what actually happens in nature.
And there are some sublethal effects that aren't necessarily detected or evident from laboratory studies. In nature, if an animal shows any sign of distress, it's preyed upon in general. Predatory fish aren't very polite to their prey when it starts to become impaired. So a very sublethal, very subtle change in behavior can have a sublethal effect. And that type of dynamic or response isn't evident in the laboratory tests that people use to determine toxicity.
David Hollander is a professor in chemical oceanography at USF, whose work led him to discover oil on the floor of the Gulf. He pointed out that even without chemical dispersants, some oil was likely to remain deeper in the water column.
This was like an aerosol can, 21 inches in diameter, that was able to spew out like that. And what happens when that pressure shoots out? It comes out as fine, fine micro droplets. They burst out into very, very small particles. And that's a really important phenomenon, because independent of dispersant, the physical chemistry suggests that subsurface oil should form. And if it's really small droplets, it should be stable for a pretty long time.
Along with Peebles, Hollander set out to track down the subsurface oil in the Gulf, using models that Weisberg created to track the movement of underwater particles. Using sonar, along with other methods, they discovered what they believed to be a plume of oil about 400 meters below the surface, all while BP's CEO Tony Hayworth, who has since been replaced, denied that subsurface oil could exist.
A lot of pressure coming back from that cruise, and all of a sudden, Tony Hayworth comes out and says, of course, there is no oil on the surface. Oil doesn't stay underneath the water, oil flows. And so that put a direct pressure on us as academics to really recognize whether this was oil or not.
Using carbon analysis of the water samples, they were able to come to a definitive conclusion.
And so at that point, we really put it out. And we confirmed indeed that it was subsurface oil plumes at 400,000 meters, and we sort of put Tony Hayward's statement to bed.
Hollander was also able to prove that the subsurface oil did, in fact, come from the BP platform. He did this by comparing the chemical makeup of oil from the accident site to the samples of subsurface oil they had collected.
So really, the molecular compound-specific approach is essentially the equivalent of a chemical fingerprint, and the obviously the BP, the 252 Deepwater Horizon well, is definitely the source of the subsurface oil.
Audience members were concerned about how these studies were funded and if BP had anything to do with the research. During the question and answer period, Peebles addressed their concerns.
University of South Florida stepped up, and our foundation on the main campus gave us $500,000 to continue this work. We didn't have any strings attached because we didn't have BP money. But there was still some government feedback that we were getting, and the main campus was wise enough to decide to give us money to continue our work to guarantee that we had no strings attached.
The University of South Florida is a member of the Florida Institute of Oceanography, which did receive $10 million in funding from BP. The event concluded with a panel of spokespeople from various environmental organizations who spoke about their activities in Gulf restoration and how people can get involved. You can find more information about this story on our website, wmnf.org/news. For WMNF News in St. Petersburg, I'm Jamie Kidder.